When deciding how and when to safely return to the workplace, you need to be informed. That's why IBM Watson helps you prioritize employee safety with Watson Works, a set of AI-infused capabilities. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonworks to learn more. When deciding how and when to safely return to the workplace, you need to be informed. That's why IBM Watson helps you prioritize employee safety with Watson Works, a set of AI-infused capabilities. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonworks to learn more.
I'll just leave that up to you there if you can figure out what song that was, and I'll just say it's our Red Hot Chili Peppers tune, but figure it out. Anyways, hey, welcome. It's Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Central, to The Delicious Recipe with your host, The Dell. And tonight is Angelic Devil Foods Cake. And I have a guest with me there tonight, Sean Kelly from Pittsburgh Paranormal. And I just want to also say is that along with this, 107.7 FM, New Orleans, UPRNTalkRadio.com. Check out for interesting extra content. Become a subscriber. Check it out. There's lots of hosts out here with lots of interesting content and stuff like that. So be a member. Check it out. Okay. But anyways, we got Sean Kelly here. And Sean, let's... You're just new to the network here too, as well. And tell us all, because my listeners probably don't even know, or I haven't even checked you out, and I want them to go check you out. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you for having me on, Del. I am Swan Kelly, and I am from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And me and Jenny Nicasio have a show on UPRN 107.7. And it's Thursday night at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. It's called Chasing Prophecy. I've been in the paranormal group world for over 30 years now, and I've experienced a lot of apparitions, demonic situations, and I enjoy the work. I enjoy going out and trying to find the answers. But every now and then, there's some nutcases out there. You know that, you know, it's not that I beat my head upside the wall about them. It's just that some of the outrageous things that they come up with, it just blows me away. And I don't know. That's where I'm at right now. I am a meat cutter for a store called Giant Eagle. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that for 20 years. And so that's a little bit about me. But Thursday nights at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, where me and Jenny Nicasio chasing prophecy.
Right. And I think also, too, you guys also do investigations as well?
Yes, yes. My group is the Pittsburgh Paranormal Society, and we've been going since March of 2006.
Yes. So have you found any really interesting things that sort of spun your head a little bit? And is this even possible, or... Or just wondered about something different that sort of just brought an awareness to yourself there that maybe something else is out there.
Oh, yeah. Many of our investigations, not all, but the majority of them, we have caught some apparitions, a full-blown apparition in a closet. And just recently, we got a shadow person out into a cemetery. And wow. Yeah, so I enjoy the work. I enjoy looking for the video and looking for all the evidence that we're supposed to get. I got the best crew out there. I'll put them against any paranormal group out there, and they would kick their asses. That's the way I look at it. And so, yeah, I've seen a lot. Basically, what we do, we're not so much into going to cemeteries like we were a long time ago when we first started. What we do is we go to clients' houses that are having paranormal activity, and what we do is try to find out why the ghost is there, who is the ghost, and what do they want, you know, try to find an answer for them. And we have done over 1,000 houses, like a lot of clients and stuff like that. So for me to see people, you know, give them a peace of mind, and help them understand the spirit world. That's where all the gratitude comes from.
This is one thing I've sort of been mulling over, and I've asked this question a few times there. Do you think that the advance of paranormal activity is coming towards like an end time sort of thing, or is it because of the advance of more technology and more electricity, more static stuff in the air that might be drawing things out?
I think right now at this very moment, with all the crap happening on in the world, there's so much anger, there's so much hurt, there's so much pain, which in turn is negative energy. And when spirits feel all that energy, they're just like, oh God, they're coming to eat. So yes, I believe it's not so much electronical wise. I do believe it's what's happening in the world with all the energies happening.
So it's almost like a Pac-Man character from the video game. There, all this energy
basically
drawn to it, eh?
Something yeah.
Like something goofy like that. Anyways, I always draw things back to whatever, either food or to video games and music. Anyway,
but, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but I didn't know, because that's one thing I've sort of noticed there with because YouTube has gotten a lot bigger than what it was 15 years ago, and there's a lot more shows out there and a lot more people doing this things. And I think some people that are doing it nefariously or just trying to gain money and stuff like that. They're not doing it legitimately. But I was just wondering, with the advents of technology, where there's a lot more energy that's out there, because a lot of people have said there before is that spirits are attracted to energy, whether it's personal energy or just even this, like, you got to figure in a household, there's so much Wi-Fi and energy with no wires that you don't see around that gives sort of like pathways for things to latch onto. And I sort of wondered that is that sort of like a booster force that people are picking up, and then everybody has a camera now.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought that up. The majority of the houses that we go to, and the first thing I look for is I go down to the box, the electrical box down there, and I want to see what type of wiring they got.
Yep.
Because the old knob and tubing type of wiring,
yep,
that leaves off a lot of EMF. And what happens is... Has a ton of energy coming off in wires, and the spirits are just like totally attracted to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the spirits also that are in the house, it's not so much a relative or anything like that, but it's, I like to say that it's part of the land before that house was built.
Okay.
I mean, there's some areas out here in Pittsburgh where it was all farmland, and now, you know, a lot of my clients are out east, and they aren't getting their family ghosts, you know, spirits of relatives and stuff. They are getting, like, people wearing, like, in the 1800s, 1700s and stuff like that.
Yeah, that another part there is that I think about as... North America was sort of being founded. There's like, that's where most of the population sort of happened. And a lot of stuff happened as the coming into the new world that people might've latched on. There's a lot of old buildings that are around there too. And that's one thing I always sort of ask these questions to all the time. There is about, like you said, with the knob and tube, right? You have that old copper wiring that's in there, or stainless steel or silver or whatever it was. And then the old cast iron, plumbing pipes, right? A lot of electrical current things that can actually sort of, where you don't see those anymore, because a lot of stuff we have there today in new houses are grounded or shielded wires and stuff like that, whereas the old stuff was a lot different, right? And that could actually throw things off.
And the power lines that are over the house too. You know, I always look for the power lines that are hanging over the houses.
I always have this one question.
And I was, like, attracted to it.
Yeah,
what's that?
I always, this one question about ghost boxes, because I dealt with a lot of stuff with back about 15 years ago with ham radio operators and stuff like that. And then about knowing about radio frequencies where military is on a different frequency than ham radio. And then you got your FM signals and all this other stuff. And then people doing pirate radio. I was wondering about that when you're picking up with these scaling into running rotations through stuff. I don't know. How do you feel about those with the ghost boxes? I don't feel those are really legit. Do you or...
Okay, that I'm glad you brought that question up too, because when they first came out with it, it was a bunch of bullshit. All right, honestly, even to this day, I'm on the fence with it. There are people in my group that use it, and you do get the response. How they do it is on the ghost box, you reverse it. Okay, you reverse the thing to where you're not picking up every radio station if you were running it forward, but we run it backwards. And every now and then, okay, we do ask questions and we do get some answers, and it's kind of creepy, you know what I mean? But for me, I'm the type of person where, you know, okay, so we got this thing on the ghost box. Show me more evidence so it can prove the ghost box to me. You know what I mean? So why I'm on the fence a little bit. But I will tell you this, one investigation we had, who wrote The Untouchables? Who was that author?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I know the people that were in the movie there, but,
but the guy who was the author, there's a place all the way up north, close to Erie. And, he stayed at a hotel up there. And we were running the ghost box, and as God is my witness, we had a reoccurring situation going on in that hotel where two guys were fighting over a woman. You can actually hear the woman. You can actually hear the two guys talking about the woman. Yeah, it was a big fight. That went like for 3-4 hours. Yeah, same. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's because I remember my buddy used to have a scanner, and he would scan and they would pick up like police stations and other things. And then people that had baby monitors in their house, and sometimes we get babies crying through the. So I'm just wondering, like, if that's sort of like something that's sort of bleeding over that's into these signals where you're getting something different. Because even with I have like a long range walkie talkies FM, and I'll pick up baby monitors all the time. Like, I have to keep on flicking through stations, and I know it's not a ghost. I can hear somebody talking to their baby in the room, right? And as like, right. So I always wonder about radio signals when people are getting things, and then they're just sort of looking for words that might make something, right?
Yes, basically. Yeah. But a lot of what we do is we ask a lot of questions. Now, they got those apps that are on the radio, on the phones, and with them, okay, and, you know, they'll give you a sentence, but I don't like them. And the reason why I don't like them, because they always have a sentence, you know what I mean? And like every once in a blue moon, you know, you'll get something good on it, but it's like they're programmed into that app, and you know, no matter where you're at, you're going to get that word. Now some people will like debate me on that, okay, but see, I have a totally open mind, you know what I mean? It's not closed. So a lot of people are like, have blinders on. Okay.
Yep.
They see a word and it's automatically the spirit's truth, you know. Yep. But for me, no. I need more evidence to actually agree with that.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that I went through. Like I went to college, I took electrical engineering and then took environmental engineering. So I know what dealing with a lot of systems are, and I always sort of have that skepticism about it. That I just always wondered about, hey, well, if you ask a question, why don't you just give like a clear 5-word sentence instead of just clips, right? Yeah, that's sort of threw me off about stuff. Like, how about, have you guys dealt with Ouija boards in any of your spiritual experiences at the houses when you're doing investigations?
Oh, yeah. Yes. First of all, you know, the Ouija board, if you have one and you don't know what you're doing with it, you can get burned. And I saw a lot of people get burned. Now, there are friends of mine that believe in that Ouija board, but they know how to use it. Do you know what I mean? They respect the board. They don't use it as just a game. But there was a girl in my group, Sue. We went over and investigated her house the first time, and she pulled out, this had to be like in the 1800 Ouija board, right?
Wow.
This sucker was old. So long story short, we told her to bury it outside in her backyard by the tree. And the reason behind that is if you bury it by an old tree and you throw salt on it, the energy from the tree and the salt, you know, whatever spirit is attached to that board is going to stay where it's at. It's not going anywhere.
That's a good question. So why salt?
Pure. Sea salt's pure. It's pure. It's totally pure. That's the only reason that I can cut. Because I researched that a lot, too. And, you know, to me, salt is just a pure element. And that's why they're just, like, right there. But here's the story behind that Ouija board, though. Okay. So a week later, she had a party with her friends. It's a true story. Mm-hmm. And they had a burying the Ouija board party. Mm-hmm. And they went out and they buried it right underneath that tree, right?
Yeah.
So it was like around wintertime or fall. And so the trees were falling off the tree. But what was crazy, she sent me a picture, and do you know, this thing was buried under that tree. Not one leaf landed on the area they buried that Ouija board.
Oh, really, eh? Wow, yes. Eh?
Then my brother, we went over there a couple of days, and he kicked all these leaves on it before we left. I mean, totally covered it with leaves. Yep. The next morning, she took a picture. There was no leaves on that spot she buried that. And then when it snowed, no snow would go on this place where they buried it. Snow all around, but not there. So that to me is my dealing with Ouija boards. I don't like them. I don't use them. And for me, my own professional is that I usually tell people, or not tell them, but I recommend that they don't use them because they can get burned.
Well, that's the one thing that I've, Laura and I, we've talked about this many times, and I think we were sent one there one time, and we had some weird occurrences happening at the house that, we'd never ever used it. It just showed up, and which is sort of weird that energy to be there, and whether you believe in it or not, but something was definitely happening different when that thing showed up and then when it got out. So
yes.
Mm-hmm. It was... But that's the thing. This is always a question I always ask. Is that I had a lot of acquaintances and stuff like that that are atheists. They don't even believe in God, but they believe in the devil, which is really, really a weird sort of stance to take. So you believe in one side of a religion, but you don't believe in the other, and they'll deal with stuff like that. They'll deal with like the darkness and everything like that. And they says, well, you don't believe in any of the good out of it. He says, no, we don't believe that exists. And I think there's some people that actually start playing around with tools that were used many, many centuries ago that don't have any sort of knowledge about what the good and the bad of it is. And they don't know what they're getting in there. Because I've said this before many times, is that demons and spirits that are demonic or dark, They play games and they can pretend to be the goodest, the best thing in the world. And you start believing that it is. Like, how did you even know that you're talking to your best friend, dead relative or something like
exactly.
that?
Exactly. That's the way I look at it.
And you don't know and you can't know. And people that play that little game and play that razor's edge or the side of the fence, you can actually get into some trouble where you can have something that... likes to play along with you for years to come.
You know, I had a client one time, and this she was a very good girl. nice family, very, very good mother. And then all of a sudden, all hell started to break loose in our house. And then I went over and we sat down and talked about it. And you know how you can trust your, I trust my intuition. I trust what is said in my, you know what I mean? I trust what I feel, hear, and say.
Yeah.
And I said, did you ever play with the Ouija board? And she said, my God, that's, I was like 12 years old then. And she was like 42, 43.
Yeah.
And I said, that spirit waited 42 years to come and start, you know, attacking you. And it's like, but she said, but that was 40 some years ago. And I'm like, when, you know, the spirit, when you die, your spirit's out there. They have no time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Space and time make no, or
no, not at all.
It could be, to them, it's the next minute.
Exactly. So it's like, well, I took care of the situation and she never had a problem since. But, you know, it's just amazing, you know, when you play in and, you know, it's not so much the Ouija board. Okay. Tarot decks. Okay.
Yep.
Or pendulums, anything that has to do to communicate with the spirit, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, don't play with it because you will get burned. I respect everybody. I mean, people who read cards, who are professional at it, to understand the difference between good and bad in the cards. You know, I respect that. You know what I mean? They're good readers. But when you just buy a deck off the shelf at a store and you start playing with it, you just opened up a can of worms.
Yeah, that's very true. See, I've been getting into, I guess, for the last 15, 20 years, dealing with, religious texts and stuff like that, eh? And like, I've been going through how the Bible has been, a lot of stuff has been added and taken away. Even when you go into the Jewish Torah and stuff like that, and you go into the East Indian Bibles or their books of religion and Chinese and stuff like that. But especially with, the biggest one I think that's been sort of manipulated has been the Christian Bible. There's been a lot of stuff taken out and put in. And there's a lot of stuff you can see about that. Like if you go back to the Vulgate or the Septuagint and stuff like that, where they changed from Hebrew to Greek and they've changed into English, they've added phrases, they've taken away stuff, they've added stuff. And even gets into this whole thing when they talked about the fallen angels that fell down that taught people gematria, tarot cards, Warcraft, gold, mineralization, all these different things that were talked about back then. But they were actually talking a different language that doesn't translate to English. And even with the gematria stuff there, I always find it sort of interesting. Like if you look back at, I think it's the 1611 or 1511 King James Bible, there's no J. So Jesus doesn't start with a J, it starts with an I-O.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so I did not know that.
yeah, it's interesting. There's no J in the whole entire King James Bible.
Wow. For
the 1511 or 1611. I have to double check that on here. But yeah, no J in the whole entire Bible from beginning to end. So there's no Jehovah, no Jesus, nothing.
Wow.
Like that. Right?
But you know, people
use those letters and use those as writing into doing certain whatever occultic spells, I guess you would call those, or determinations.
Yeah. But one thing, you know, when you talk about the Bible, when I started working with clients, you know, I started to, you know, read the Bible and learn the Bible, not just by myself. You know, I've watched shows. I've talked to priests, theologians, you know, the whole nine yards. People study it. And here is the amazing thing about the New Testament that I learned. You got Matthew, Mark, and Matthew, you know, Judas has not been mentioned. Okay. And then Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you know, Judas was his friend. You know what I mean? They were like really, really best friends. Now, here's the kicker. Okay, John was written 96 years after Christ died. Yeah. 96 years. Uh-huh. Okay. So if you put, you know, with Judas there, and John saying, Judas has betrayed Jesus, okay? Uh-huh. So come to find out, and this was my own thinking, but it was, you know, settled with a couple other people that if you take the word Judas, okay, yeah, the Judeans actually crucified Christ on the cross, right?
Yep.
And so you got Judeans and you got Judas, the name match. And that's how I believe that Judas was buying for, you know. But I don't trust the Bible at all. And trust me, I was raised Catholic for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. And some of the stuff, look at the book of St. Thomas. That was never put in there, right? Mary Magdalene's book wasn't put in there. And
yes, I have a whole thing about this, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I wrote it down here just in case this came up. Where am I here? Where was I? Fourth Esdras, right? And that's a book that's not even in there. It's a non-canonical, right? But in Fourth Esdras is that Ezra is going to be told by, I think it's the archangel Israel or Uriah. I can't remember. I didn't write it all down. But he's going to put in the books that were not put in there. I think there's 70 books of the Old Testament, right? Because they count the first five books as one book. They don't count them as that. So however it works out there. But there's missing books. The Ethiopian Bible has all of them in there. Including the book of Enoch and all the rest of those ones there too as well, right? And with all the books that you just mentioned too as well, and there's supposed to be a time before the fall, before the end, that these books will all be related back out. Now, I think how it's said there in the text is that only some of the books will be given to the people and the rest will be given to the clergy to announce to the people because maybe they won't understand the story, but that's just whatever is going on with it. But there seems to be that there's a lot more stuff out there. And like, have you ever read any of the non-canonical texts?
You know what? No, I haven't. I'll be honest with you. For me, in order to understand something, I have to watch it. If I read something, I can't comprehend.
Okay. Yeah. Because there's a lot of interesting stuff that's actually being put in there, and I've been going through this for like years, and even in the texts that are there in the Bible right now, they actually refer to the ones that are not in, that have been, like, you ever hear about the Council of Nicaea?
Yes, I've heard of that, yes.
Yes, and that's where this is back with Constantine there, when before Constantine allowed Christianity, the Roman Empire to basically take over the church, right? And right. this gets into really, really, people don't want to hear this stuff. There's all this whole thing about the Antichrist. There's always been an Antichrist every sort of generation going through there. And a lot of it's been done that actually the Pope is the Antichrist. And that's why they've sort of hidden books and they've hidden knowledge away in their vaults, right? They don't want the rest of the people to know, and they just keep on collecting money and dictating that they are the lip service to God, right? Which is written in the Bible, is that you don't have to go through another person to actually talk to God or to pray to God. So it's a really, really sort of a really weird thing. I know a lot of people are going to get mad about that, but if they want to go and look into it, there's actually some truth to it all. So there's a lot of things that, like even with the fall of the angels, right? You got there's a whole thing about Satan and Lucifer and Beelzebub, and all them are all actually different people
or
different.
They are. They are
entities, right?
I mean,
the first fall happened when Lucifer. This is the way that I sort of understood it, was that he went against God because God loved man more than he loved the angels, so they kicked them out and just threw them out to the universe. And then the second part was when the Watchers started having sex with humans and cast all them out, and that was with the Satan devil crew, and threw them down there to make them. So it's really, really weird how things are interpreted, but they actually get to maybe the, what the real stuff is. You have to go back and look at the, because even the Septuagint Vulgate aren't even the original Bible. Those are, the original ones are gone. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, if you go through that, if you look about how the history of the Bible, how it transformed it into all different forms, you'll see that where those ones are, there's still four more that were beforehand that have disappeared, that are no longer there. Wow. And that's why the big thing that happened when the Dead Sea Scrolls came out, because that was sort of a linkage in between. Right. It sort of proved sort of things that were through there. And then you have to go through other religious texts that actually talk about the same people, but with a different name. Because you can look at this, and you look into Greek history, Roman history, Indian history, Sumerian history, Canaanite history, Australian vocal history, Northern American history. They all have the same sort of characters, but with different names.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when you know, when you're talking about the fallen angels,
the other thing that I learned
from theologians and on Lucifer was kicked out of heaven to actually keep an eye on Satan down in hell.
Well, that's one theory of it.
And I believe that theory, you know what I mean? And they say that when the world ends, Lucifer will be put on the right hand side of God again.
Well, he was the most beautiful. He was an angel, right? He was an angel. He was Michael's brother, right? He was actually second in, or I guess you would say third in command, because Michael was first in command behind God, right? And Jesus and the Holy Spirit, however the Trinity worked out afterwards. But as for in angels, the way that it sort of goes is that Michael was the top angel, Lucifer was the second. But Lucifer was the most beautiful, the morning star, the most favored, the most beautiful. And then when he caused the revolt, he was kicked out of heaven, but not kicked out to earth in the hell. See, I was going through this today and watching videos about this, and it's really funny how theologians sort of take their own interpretation, and they want to say this is what the truth is, but they don't know for sure either, though, right?
Right.
They weren't there. Like the video you sent me there with Dr. Joy Poe,
that
was sort of interesting.
That was
sort of interesting in a way. And then till the last 15 minutes, and I was like, what? And then I didn't understand what she was saying anymore, because it didn't make any sense to me, because it seemed a little bit out there. Interesting person. And then it's a great theory. And I don't ever discount anybody's theory, because their theory is what they believe and what they've studied and what they know, but maybe they might not have gotten all the information, and that's how they base things. And that's a big thing that I always talk about with, even with schooling, is that even in the universities and colleges and stuff like that, all these social programs that are in there, and it's just teachers teaching things, but they don't want to take new theories on, because that's the reason they got the job, is because of what they believed in, right?
Right,
if a new theory comes out there that actually proves that all the stuff they've been teaching for 20 years was wrong, what would they teach to these people for 20 years?
Right. And to me, Del, honestly, and I know that you research, okay?
Yeah.
But my question to everybody who writes books and researches, how can you not, what you just said, you know, the person that they're researching, what they learn from the person researching the situation, how do they know it's true? You know what I mean? It's like me researching five people, okay, coming up with five different situations about one subject. And it's like, okay, so researcher number one that I'm researching, you know, said something, but researcher number three said the same thing, but in different word. It's just so confusing. So to me, I can research forever. Everybody can research. Yep. And I'm not knocking researchers. Trust me, I'm not. My son's one. Okay. And it just mind boggles how the people who finally put out what they think. Okay. You know, it's just mind boggling. Now, to be honest with you, I respect those people. I respect people like you, Lori, Dr. Pugh, you know what I mean? But sometimes, you know, it's just a little off for me. And it really bugs me because I'm thinking, how could you actually say something like this? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that was sort of like, because you sent me that video and I was like, hey, well, she's got really interesting theories here. And this is the thing I always tell people on my shows. Theory is not fact. Mm-hmm. So this is just opinion that's being out there. And just like my opinion, I tell all my guests that watch the show, research for yourself. Don't believe me. I'm just giving you ingredients to throw in the bowl, right?
Right.
And then you take from it what you get. And that's because that's what I do. That's why, like, if anybody wants to go and check out my my YouTube page, like, I have every different broad spectrum of differing opinions all through there. People that I don't like, people I do like, but I listen to them all because there might be something there that maybe I'm not aware of, or maybe that's a different view. Because I will say, because right. I'm not a person that looks inside the box or inside the box. I'm just sort of like, hey, that box is over there. What else is around here that might influence that box? That's the way I sort of think, eh? And so, and I think it works for me. It might not work for others, but it works for me. Like, I want to hear everybody's differing opinion. And this is the way I think the country in the U.S. has sort of gone, and in Canada, where I am from, that it's become so polarized one way or another. And this, this is an interesting point, because I watched this, I think it was on Wednesday of last week, and I wish I could remember where it disappeared. But the person said this, that every fall of every civilization that was great, going back to Gomorrah, Rome, other ones there, is that the degradation of civilization happened through sexuality, stealing, robbing people, and that's how it just all sort of went down the toilet.
Right.
And you're sort of almost seeing that sort of falling this way right now with the state of the country there, with an election there going on. You got BLM and Antifa members, and you got the LGBTQ fighting for stuff, and you got all this stuff that's going on there, trying to polarize a non-polarized civilization, and then everything's sort of falling apart.
Yeah, and it's sad. It really sad. And to be honest with you, I am very empathic, and I feel that stuff. I watch Fox News religiously. It's from 7 to 11.
Right.
And I can't watch it no more. I can't watch it. And it's because the more I watch it, the more I get upset. And then, you know, that David Muir over there on Channel 4 ABC, I don't know. I can't stand him.
Right.
I mean, it's like, okay, think about it, right? Look what happened. All right. All those countries that came together and signed a peace treaty. Yeah. And not once was it ever said on that CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, was never said, never mentioned. Right. You know, it's like, it just seems like that the media and other outlets, okay, they want to cause these problems. And it's like, you know, it just really, really bothers me, because there's people who I love dearly that go about believing CNN, believing David Muir, believing all the others. And I'm thinking, why even fight? Because it's just going to cause a big traumatic thing. So I keep my mouth shut. Smartest thing to do. But I just sometimes sit down and I'm thinking, if you could only listen to other outlets and see what they have to say, instead of, you know, just going by what David Muir does. You know what I mean? So where I'm at with that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I do watch mainstream media at a very limited amount just to see what they're saying. But I do watch independent news stations. Like, there's a whole bunch of just even stuff that you can even still maybe even find on YouTube or find on the internet. Like, I like listening to Jimmy Dore. I like listening to Whitney Webb, stuff like that, independent news people that are actually going out and finding real news stories and actually reporting on non-biased news.
Right.
And that's the way mainstream media has gone political, right?
Too political.
Yeah.
Look who's coming up tomorrow. Talking about political, okay? Think about it. They got the debates going on, right?
Yep.
Tomorrow?
Yep.
And all of a sudden they come up with Trump's tax returns?
Yep.
The day before? Come on. Yep. I think this is their last Hail Mary. Honest to God, I really believe it. Because
they got some more, I think. They're like we just said there beforehand. I was just watching there with Ilhan Omar there with absentee ballots, and a bunch of her workers I work for had like truckloads of these things just pulling. And that's being investigated now. Like that's a pretty crazy thing. Like, you got to figure if you look at about voting. Okay. Now, if I had to get a license here in Canada, I have to go down and get a picture and show two pieces of government ID just to get a driver's license. So why would you do the same thing for voting?
I agree, sir. I agree that everybody should have a photo ID, and this is who I am, where I live, and go from there. But they've been trying to get that here in the States, but it's just not happening. They don't want it. And, you know, so to me, when I see all the shit happening, you know, with the presidencies and all the badness happening, it just seems like, you know, where Dr. Joy could be coming true, but with the Antichrist coming in, because all hell's breaking loose, you know, everything is just falling apart. Mm-hmm. And it scares me, to be honest with you. It scares me.
See, this is actually a good question that you mentioned her name again there, because I brought her up, but then you just mentioned again. So she's figuring that William is Will I Am, Prince Harry William, was his, what was the whole name there? King Arthur, William.
King Arthur, yeah.
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 So he is the Antichrist. See, and this is really a weird thing, because I watched a whole bunch. After I watched that, I watched about 4 hours of other videos about people who thought they knew who the Antichrist was through all of history. Like, it all went back to Constantine, Nero, French guy, Napoleon, everybody. There always seemed to be an Antichrist all the way through this whole sort of that people sort of thought of, eh? And so it was sort of I thought that was sort of interesting. But the thing was, there was one sort of one line that she didn't say, and she mentioned a lot of Bible verses there too. But the thing was, is that in there that the Antichrist would not lay down with women.
Only men. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's written right there in the Bible. And I was like, I was surprised that she never brought that up, because it was like, oh, isn't that interesting? So the Antichrist would be just a homosexual.
You know, I'll tell you who I think it is. It's George Soros, to be honest with you. He's got the money. He's got the power. But he's not of royal family, royal breed, or whatever it is. And you know what? She probably did do a lot of studying on the background, you know, straight, you know, all the way back to the lineage. You know, there was some stuff that she said that I never understood, especially the Jewish.
Yeah. Well, his last name is Jewish, right? It's Schwartz. His mother changed the Soros to fly like the eagle when the Nazis came in, and dad paid for him to go with. I did a whole show on this back in, I think, October of last year, and how it went through there, and that how he went through during the war when he, I think, was 14 years old, and they appropriated all the Jewish houses and stole all their gold and paintings, and his thought about it was, is better I take it than somebody else.
Right. And
that's the same thing he did when he took the $1 billion and tanked the UK stock market.
Yeah. And didn't he tank Greece?
No, it's like the UK.
UK? England.
Yeah. That's where he made his $1 billion in 24 hours. Billion-dollar man in 24 hours.
Wow. Yeah. So, see, to me, men like that, you know, to me would, in my eyes, would be like Antichrist. I believe that. I mean, you know how people research, like everybody research, come up with their own ideas. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of research, and it just all points to him. And he's a bad man.
Well, he's into social destruction for the benefit of himself and his company to make money. See, this is the weird thing about it, because if you want to ever check out that show, it's back there, I think, like I said, last year. And it talks about how his marketing with the OSF. I talked a lot about the OSF. That was the foundation that he made. And that foundation funds Black Lives Matter and Antifa, social discord to put people into power so that they benefit him and his company, right? Obama, before he left office, gave him $9.8 million. Okay, now he's supposed to be a philanthropist, right? Billionaire. What does he need $9.8 million of U.S. taxpayer money?
He don't.
Right? This is never, ever pushed out in the main media because they don't want to, because they're the group, right? The group that has all the money that are running the main media don't want to talk about their friends that are doing stuff to benefit them.
Right, exactly. And that's scary. So instead of Devin George, to me, that sounds like instead of George Soros, there's like seven or eight of them out there that, you know, that are like the Antichrist. And, you know,
you can call them demons on the same baseball team.
Yeah, that's a new one, honestly. But it really, really, really opened my eyes, and it really just like sunk in, and I was like totally confused. I was totally, you know, it bothered the shit out of me, to be honest with you. It really did, because I mean, it was like, wow, you know. And William, I don't know, I put the picture of Jesus and William together, and I just can't see no resemblance to that.
I looked at it too, as well, and I don't see the whole thing. The meekness and being married didn't make any sense either. But I have to, actually, it's 5 to 9, and I have to make sure that I stop at 5:02 because I did it longer than last time. Because we have coming up right after this, we have the Angel Rock with Laura Lee Potvin. And I want to thank my guest there, Sean Kelly, on tonight. And check out his show on Thursday night. What time is it at, Sean?
7:00 Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And it's called Chasing Prophecy with Jenny Nicasio and myself.
Awesome. I know it's been really, really great talking to you there. It says there's so much more stuff we can go into. I didn't even crack into my third page of stuff to go into. And I still have a phone of a whole bunch of stuff to go also into. So maybe we can do this again at a future date if you'd be interested.
I sure would. I would love to come back on. Thank you.
Okay. And let's kick it back to Joe Montaldo on 107.7 FM New Orleans.
Well, we're going to let y'all get out of here now.
All right.
I enjoyed the show.
Attention SSI and other federal benefit recipients. If you did not file a tax return last year and have children under 17, you must act now to get the $500 economic impact payment per child this year. You must provide the IRS your child's information by September 30th. Go to irs.gov and use the non-filer tool by September 30th. That's irs.gov. This message produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Behind every company, there's a time-tested engine keeping it moving. By earning your accounting degree online from Grand Canyon University, you could advance your career by identifying business efficiencies and building business models. Become a core team member by keeping business on budget and on track to success. What did you think accounting careers look like? GCU offers over 175 high-quality online programs like this one. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.